So as we start this study, you know, it's interesting. Ron finished with talking about the earthquake in North Carolina. He talked about the times we are in and the headlines that we see. I did this study because all I hear from the media today is inciting fear. It's constant. Make people afraid, they will do foolish things. They will do things out of fear. There's two reasons behavioral scientists say we do things. One is out of fear. The other is out of passion. I study not out of fear. I study out of passion. And so with that thought in mind, as we think about we have the pandemic, COVID-19 with us. We have riots. We have earthquakes. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have a political battle that is absolutely ridiculous on both sides, that they're acting like children. But I'll tell you, it is just like what Ron's finished with, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, as they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple, with the whole idea of praying and praising, and having a place that was free to be able to worship their God. And we're trying to worship our God, but you have so many people coming in here illegally that are, in fact, bringing their strange gods with them. And so we're repeating history. So with that in mind, there's a phrase that is used in the Bible multiple times, but actually less than 10. And the phrase is found in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And this study is to not only take a look at this topic, be strong and of good courage, but also to do so utilizing right division, looking at the tools that we have available to us so that those who may not be teaching, but our students will have those tools available to them, and know where to find them, know where to get answers, know how to rightly divide the word. And with that in mind, I've given you a study guide to do that with, primarily with references, and I'll try to fill in the blanks as we go. But in the King James Version, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." You know, if we got up every morning and we repeated that, we wouldn't care what the newspaper said. I'm going to take a look at the next few verses as well. And I've given in the study guide that I sent out what the Strong's Concordance actually lists, and the Greek and Hebrew in a linear to be able to show the different Strong's references, as well as in some cases their different meanings to those words, so that you could again see what right division looks like. So as we go through verses 7 and 8, it says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land, which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Now, there's a lot of fear in that verse, right? But it says, fear not, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. The Lord's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. So even though we have all of this pandemic around us, the Lord has a hedge. That doesn't mean that we won't be exposed. It doesn't mean that we won't be protected. It means that even if we get it, the Lord has a purpose in it, and he won't fail or forsake thee. Now, as we look at this, and I'm going to dissect this as you will, or rightly divide, some of the key words in this phrase. So the word be strong is a root word. It has to do with fasten or to seize, to be strong, to strengthen, to fortify, to conquer. And I'm just now paraphrasing some of the other words that are here. But it also has to do with encouraging or to take courage, to hold fast, to be mighty, to be stout, to withstand, to be valiant. And so those are some of the key words that we can pull out of this. And we're going to look in a minute at some other translations and how they see this, to get an idea of how other Bibles that have been written subsequent to the King James have now translated this. And make sure that that translation is still what was meant in its original form, meaning the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic that it was written in. So the words do not mean just that. And so I really won't go into that. The word be afraid has to do with fear, but it also has to do with revere or stand in awe. So sometimes we're told to fear God. Well, it's to reverence him. But it also can mean, different meaning here, is to be in dreadful fear of. It's kind of an astonishment or an awe. And I think of it in terms of the shock factor. If we saw something that startled us so much, we were paralyzed in fear, in awe of the power that might be in front of us. So we meet a bear in the woods or a lion, we're in awe of that strength and power, but we're also therefore afraid. Again, the word is not as used here, so we won't go into that. It says, or be terrified. This word has to do with trembling. It has to do with fear and dreading and oppression, to break, to cause to tremble or terrify, to be awesome, in some cases to inspire by awe. So again, could be taken in a completely different context, or different meaning given the context. It then goes on to say, of them, be afraid of them. Well, who is them? Well, in this case, it's those that are in front of, or those that oppose them, that they are in the presence of, before the face of, could have to do with animals, therefore, but also could have to do with people. And then we have another preposition in the word for, which means nevertheless, or though, or therefore. It is, you know, just a way to bring these words together. Therefore, or for it is the Lord, and it is the word Jehovah here. It is the true God, Jehovah. And it goes on to say, your God. So this is not one of the gods. This is the God of Israel. This is the God that is the creator, not one that is created by man with hands, made of silver or gold or wood or clay. The word who then is a pronoun, and it has to do with who, meaning he himself. This is not saying that there are others that will go before you. It is God himself. And who the word goes has to do with to come with, to proceed, in some cases to go before. To lead, and so it is this God that goes before us, that walks with us, I think that's comforting, obviously. The next says with you, so with is meaning toward, beside, and so it's the God that goes before and is with or is present with. He will never, it goes on to say he will never, meaning that this will not come to naught. It is a negative, meaning this will never come about, which is an absolute, therefore. And he will never leave you. The word leave you has to do with disheartening or dropping or sinking or relax. God never relaxes. God never sleeps. And so he will not let you drop. He will not abandon. He will never relax in his protection. He will never show himself slack. That's great to know. Knowing that gravity is the single greatest force on this earth other than God himself, and gravity does impact us every single day, we will not be dropped. And then you have the word nor, never leave you, nor forsake you, meaning, again, it's the same word as not up above, and he will not forsake, he will not leave or depart, he will not abandon, he will not neglect, he will not desert. He is there at all times with us. And so very, very affirming that God is with us. Now, it's interesting to me that this is the first time this phrase is used, be strong and of good courage. So God didn't say that to Adam when he left the garden. God didn't say it to Noah when he told him the flood was coming. God didn't say it to Moses when he had to confront Pharaoh. It's not until Joshua is going into the land. And you have to understand the backstory because, Joshua was one of two people, he and Caleb, that said, hey, we should go into the land immediately. Yes, there's giants. Yes, we're small as grasshoppers. But don't be dismayed. We will defeat them, for God is with us. And Moses, now, who's leaving the scene, encourages Joshua the same way that the same way that Joshua encouraged the people that we should go in the land. Don't be dismayed. And so it is used, as I said, less than 10 times, and we're going to look at a few of those. But before we do, I want to take a look at what other Bibles have said, really translate this. And so we have the King James, which we just read, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So the New International Version has the same intro, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified. And then it goes on to say the same, so I won't repeat each of those. So I'm just going to go through some of the words that they changed. So instead of fear not, be afraid, they say do not be afraid and do not panic. And then they say he will not fail nor abandon you. And that's one of the words that we looked at. So does that have the same meaning? To be afraid, does that mean to not panic? Is panic a much stronger word than be afraid? Can I be afraid and not panic? The English Standard Version instead says, in dread of them. Well, we saw that as one of the usages. Being afraid, does that mean you dread? Well, Kathleen and I wake up in the morning and we immediately put our shoes on because we are afraid of scorpions. We do, in fact, dread walking around in bare feet. Because, well, scorpion bite can be bad. Their sting can be bad. But that doesn't make me panic. The New American Standard uses the word tremble instead of fear. And he says he will not fail nor forsake you. The Holloman Christian Standard Bible says don't be terrified or afraid of them. The International Standard Version says do not fear or tremble before them. And then it goes on, because the Lord your God will be the one who keeps on walking with you. He won't leave you or abandon you. Kind of like that. I think that's kind of the meaning of what we saw through the King James. The NET Bible says, do not fear or tremble. He will not abandon you. The American Standard says, fear not nor be affrighted at them. The English Revised Version says, fear not nor be affrightened at them. So used twice. Young's literal translation, fear not nor be terrified because of them. For Jehovah thy God is he who is going with thee. Going with thee, all right? So, which translation's right? Obviously, I'm partial to the King James. Several of you like the New King James. I didn't use that because it's not much of a difference. But as we look at these different variations based on man's interpretation, you got to remember it's got to go back to the original Greek in Hebrew in this case, because that's what it was written in. But the Bible was written, you know, in three languages. You have Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. I had an opportunity to meet a young man yesterday, 28 years old, said he used to go to church all the time, still reads, but he doesn't go to church. His girlfriend is not a believer, and so he just doesn't do that any longer. But he's really interested in studying and liked the fact that I was talking about it and the history of the Bible. And he sat back when I told him, you know, it was written in three languages and said, I never thought of that. I guess I always thought it was written in English. Now, we could put a LOL at the end of that because I did kind of chuckle. Fortunately, I was in a mask, so he couldn't see me. But it was just interesting to me how naive people are and what they'll believe. And what others have taught them. And so it's really important for us to take a look and study this for ourselves. And that's the purpose. Don't believe me. Believe the word, and you have to go back and study it to find out. So we just looked at Deuteronomy. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. It says, starting in verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage. The same phrase, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land, which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Interesting. Okay. Be strong and of good courage is used again. He has to be reminded a second time, just verses later. Now, in Joshua, we have the same phrase used, again, quoting from what we've just looked at, but starting in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Interesting that, you know, he tells him he's got the law, and don't turn from the right to the right or the left. In other words, stay on the path. Stay on the path that Moses gave you, because that path is the good path. You get off the path, and you're no longer on my path that I'm taking, because I'm walking beside you. But when you walk off the path, you walk alone. So be strong and very courageous. Not just good courage, but very courageous. He goes on, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, So third time in the same chapter that this is used. Be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So we have this same repeated. Now, why did Joshua need to have this repeated to him? I mean, if somebody tells you something three times, they probably mean it. If they repeat something three times, you better listen to it. And, you know, sometimes we have to hear things over and over. But I think it's because it's encouragement. Be strong of good courage. And it wasn't a warning. It was an encouragement. The warning comes in, stay on the path, and thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Important that we do that. Later in the chapter, starting in verse 16, these are the people now that Joshua is now talking to. He says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, isn't that interesting? Because remember 40 years earlier when he said we should go in the land, don't be afraid of them. They said, no, we're going to listen to these guys. We're going to follow this path. Take us away from here or we're going to perish. Now they said, wherever you send us, we will go. Because Joshua is so encouraged that this is the land that we're going to go in, that the Lord is going to be with us. And with that conviction, he lets them know we're going in, and they're like, great, we're with you. Verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest, him he shall be put to death. Wow. So you better listen to Joshua. Why? He goes, only be strong and of good courage. So now the people are telling Joshua, as you've told us, we're telling you, you need to lead, and you need to do so with courage. Now, this is the exact same phrase that was used that we've read previously, the same Hebrew words with the Strong's Concordance notation of 2388 for strong and 553 for courage. So it's repeated over and over in those cases. The next reference we find is not until we get over into Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, I'm going to start in verse 9. It so says, behold, a son shall be born to thee who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So this is being told to David, the father, who was king. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. It ends up being what Solomon prays for. Give me wisdom and understanding. And give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. The same charge that was given to Joshua, keep the law that was given to Moses. Verse 13, then shalt thou prosper. Same thing that he was told. If thou take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Fear not, nor be dismayed. We've got the same words used. Later in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, it said, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. Same phrase. And do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So there's a little more added here, and not only is he with you, he won't forsake thee, but it says, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And that brings to mind to me that, you know, the Lord is not going to let us pass until he's finished with us. And when I say finished with us, it doesn't mean that he gives up on us. I mean that the work that we would do to glorify him is now complete. Just like with the Lord. He said, it is finished. He didn't mean that, you know, it was the end. It meant that he had done the work and the will of the Father. He had completed it. And that is what is meant here. That thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What service do we have yet to do? What service do those of you listening right now have yet to do to complete the work that the Lord has purposed in you? That's something that each of us have to ask ourselves. And are we on his path? Are we walking worthy and therefore God is by our side, or have we taken a new path? Now, this is not exactly the same phrase, but it has similar meaning, and some of the same words are used, Hebrew words are used. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, be strong therefore and let not your hands be weak. So the opposite of strong, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Now, notice that it's not in the actual temple, but it was before the porch. But he completely turned around his ways. The Lord, therefore, obviously forgave him. But he didn't go quite far enough to do all that the Lord had asked of him. But he is told to be strong and to take courage. 2 Chronicles 32:7. And here we have almost the exact same phrase, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, if you know this passage, you've got Sennacherib, who is, you know, battling and trying to take Jerusalem, and he's yelling to the people on the wall that, you know, don't follow Hezekiah. He's leading you astray. Don't listen to him. Have any of the gods of the nations that we have come against been able to withstand us? So don't think that his God is going to be able to do that. Well, not for Hezekiah's glory, but for the sake of the Lord's name, who had just been blasphemed, the Lord goes before him. It says, it doesn't matter how many he has with him. What matters is that the Lord is with us, and he will fight our battles. Notice it is the Lord our God, and he will fight our battles. And I truly believe that that happens today too. I can count numerous times in my life, in my career, where I knew I was going to be in for a battle as the day started. And I prayed, and the Lord had already gone before me. As soon as I got with the person that I knew I was going to be battling with, struggled for power in that person's mind when I didn't believe so, and that person's mind was completely changed and melted and was reasonable, and we got along famously because the Lord had gone before me. Turn to Isaiah 35:3. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands Same word for be strong. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Same Hebrew word. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So, strengthen your weak hands. This is a time when we need to be strengthened and we need to stand strong to show people that we are not weak. We need to build up our immune system from this virus that's out there. But trust me, we need to strengthen our inner spirit, knowing that there is an adversary that walks devouring like a lion. And he wants to sift us. He wants to destroy us. He wants us to falter and fail and not show strength, but show panic, to be dismayed, to think that God has now completely forsaken us. And, you know, if he forsakes this country because it is way off the path as it is, but he will not forsake us as believers. Let's go to Psalms 31, verse 24. It says, be strong and of good courage. Same phrase. All you who put your hope in the Lord. So let me ask you, is that where your hope is? Or is your hope in something else? Is it in the security of your job? Is it in your spouse? Is it in your children? Is it in material things? Is it in the strength of our military? Where is your hope? If your hope is in our God, then it's rightly placed. Let's look now, not exactly at this same phrase, because now we're going to move into the Greek, but we have this same idea in Ephesians, which I think is a great place for us to be, obviously, and we're not going to end here, but we're going to end with a couple of verses in books that were written by Paul to us specifically, the Church of the Body of Christ. In Ephesians, this is a fitting place to be when you think about being strong and of good courage. So verse 10 through 19 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word strong here is the word in dunamo. It is from the Greek word dunamis, or power, which is where we get the word dynamite, which we see in Ephesians 1:19. Let's go there very quickly. It means to be empowered, enabled, increased in strength, or to make strong. But in verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 1, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. This power is a miraculous power. It is a resurrection power, and that power we have available to us because we will be seated with him as well in heavenly places. The word power is the word kratos. It means vigor or dominion, might, power, and strength. The word might is the Greek word ischus. It means forcefulness, ability, might, or power. And it goes on then in Ephesians from verse 10 to verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's exactly where we need to be. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against one political party or another, current group of people that are rioting in the streets for their cause, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I just want to dwell on that word perseverance for a second, because that's withstanding, that's enduring, that's tenacity, and that's what we need in this day, not only because of the COVID virus, but because of the fiery darts, those the fear that's being spread through the media today, to keep us in under control, if you will, to keep us fearful at all times, and keep them therefore in power. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's our purpose. That's why we have to be strong and of good courage, because we are to be bold. Just as I was bold with this young man yesterday who, doesn't know me for Adam, and yet I was able to talk to him through a mask, but I was able to talk to him because the Holy Spirit gave me boldness, and I was willing. It was a natural conversation. It just flowed, and he was interested. He asked questions, and I was prepared, again, by the Holy Spirit to be able to respond appropriately. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul tells his protege Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The sound mind is the opposite of being dismayed. A sound mind is the opposite of being fearful and panicking and listening to the chaos. We have a sound mind because we're involved in the Word, which gives us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Knowing that we have grace, we have no fear. We don't fear death because of grace, not because of what we do, our works, but because what we've believed, that belief, that faith is a gift. That gift is because of his grace. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, because they're bold. Thou therefore endure hardness, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Wow. That's that perseverance that we just talked about. You are having to endure different things, having to endure sickness, having to endure poor health, having to endure everything from disease and cancer to maladies that, are yet undiagnosed. And yet we are asked to continue to endure because God goes before us. He is with us. And I'm going to end then in Philippians, because it's a book written with joy. In spite of Paul being imprisoned, he starts off in verse 5 of chapter 4 in Philippians. And I'm going to read through verse 13. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Are you rejoicing right now in spite of all the tribulation around you? Rejoice, I say. Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, or be anxious, or fret not, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, not the dismayed, not the chaos, not the fear, not the panic, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, things are lovely, things are of good report, of any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. All right, get our faces out of the internet, out of the newspaper, out of the headlines that constantly are talking about fear, 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 fear. Think on the things that are just, pure, lovely, good report, of virtue, of praise. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Wow. You want to learn how to endure? Whatever state we're in, therewith to be content. Regardless of what we may have to eat, regardless of how much toilet paper we've got, regardless of how many sterile cleansing disinfectants are available to us, in whatever state I am, to be content. And verses 12 and 13, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, who gives me courage, who helps me endure, who helps me persevere, who helps me not be dismayed, because I have the peace and understanding of not being ashamed of who I believe. And therefore, that strength, that boldness, is allows me to endure, to persevere, and to go forward. And with that, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the strength and the courage that you give us. We are thankful for the boldness that you give us to utter your word, given how you have taught us that your Holy Spirit would be with us, and that that Holy Spirit might give us the wisdom needed to be able to talk to others to answer their questions. Lord, we are thankful for the times that we are in. We are thankful for you going before us. We are thankful and praise you and exalt you. Because of your name, we are saved, that we have life through Christ, because we have believed his word, and believing, we have walked according to your word. And Lord, when we don't and we falter off the path, we are thankful for your forgiveness on a constant basis, on a one-time basis for salvation, but on an ongoing basis for all of our frailties, Lord. When I was weak, then I am strong, and that through his word. We praise you, Lord, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.